The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Champs at Last, the podcast where you just chat shit about wrestling. I am Andrew, and as always, I'm joined by Lee. How are you, mate? Are you good?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. You're proud I did that in one take?
I was quite impressed.
Considering I tried to trigger you.
There was no sniggering, no nothing. It was well done.
Yep, I'm the consummate professional, mate.
It's because no moustache, right? So
which now looks
more glorious, to be honest.
Was that Bob Roode reference?
Yeah. You shall remain as Bob Roode.
Bob Roode. I do look quite Bob Roode-esque. I don't mind having it. It's quite fun.
What we should have done is brought out Ric Flair robe in Vegas. I'm telling you, it would have worked well.
It would have done. I'd have pretended it was a Bob Roode robe, obviously.
Well, exactly. It would have had to double up. There ain't no Bob Roode apparel knocking around in sporting goods stores. I don't think there's any on the WWE shop, to be fair.
It might have been. Sure.
He might be up from the chop.
They all are, to be honest. No one is safe. Because to be fair, I actually forgot that we haven't actually really spoken since more releases.
It actually fell in an awkward time of not recording and just being too far gone to discuss on the next recording, essentially. While we're at it, what's their fucking end game here? No, just that you want Roman wrestling the Broom on SmackDown. Is that what I want?
That's what they're gonna get. No, it'll be wrestling an egg.
Right, not fucking egg.
I don't understand why you would drop Hit Row. Well, that baffles me.
Well, the rumour you read was actually quite interesting.
Well, yeah, it was, in terms of they only called them up just so Shane Strickland had a 90-day release rather than 30-day. But that seems a bit mad.
Yeah.
Even for Johnny Boy.
I wouldn't have even had him that integral to him going to like an AEW or an Impact, to be fair. Like, if he joined there, it'd be great, but it's not going to be in the star that pushes him over the edge, you'd think, anyway. But, yeah. Hopefully he appears on MLW, because that looks pretty sweet, to be fair.
I'll just be happy to see him anywhere, to be honest. I like Shane. Back to the UK and just seeing that would be a delightful.
Hopefully in a old mill in Birmingham. Or a theatre in Leicester.
The Y, indeed. That would be a big trouble.
I imagine there's a lot of things that he could jump off.
I feel like our season tickets might go up a little bit for that, Lee, but sure.
I'll be okay with that. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, true.
So, Survivor Series. I've watched 2/3 of the show. No, this isn't going to be a Scott Steiner promo. Brilliant. I've literally watched like 2/3 of the show.
Despite the fact that you had the day off to watch it.
My access to the WWE Network, while legal because, I actually pay for it,
it's all legal, yeah.
None of the devices that I could watch it on decided to work said app.
Yeah. Should have got Peacock, mate.
So, well, I've got Peacock on Sky now, but WWE's not on there. So, yeah, I managed to stumble through. I watched a pre-show on my phone. And then...
The pre-show is the only thing I haven't seen. And when I saw the result of it during the show, yeah. or someone else's, my text about it, to be fair, because I was like, was there even a pre-show match? Is, you know, we're having this battle royal in the actual show.
Yeah.
And I think it was Greg or whatever text to say that it was Shinsuke versus Demi Priest on the pre-show.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a DQ victory.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually should.
Was a great match up until the finish. Was really enjoying it. And then it was a DQ finish. And I just kind of went, well, what's the point in this?
Just absolutely stupid.
And then I fell asleep.
And hilariously, and then, one of the very few matches that SmackDown actually managed to win.
Yeah, I can't even remember my predictions either, but I think I shat the bed, to be fair.
No, I think you and I scored the same.
So we both shat the bed. Cool.
we both got 4 points. Sully got 4 points. Greg got 5 points.
Okay, that's not so too
wasn't,
bad.
It wasn't terrible. I believe you and Greg are level, and I'm one behind you now, I think.
Brilliant. So we mainly only watch the WWE product in bits, mainly to keep up our prediction league, essentially.
Yes, considering my secondary prediction league, the original one, before this one splintered off. Yeah, there's even talk of, oh, should we do AEW shows on this? I'm like, yeah, if you want to. I'll do me, I don't mind. Keep the conversation going. I'm all for it.
I mean, didn't I even watch AEW?
Enough to know who certain people are.
Because isn't one of your friends whose name escapes me?
Imti Asbandamir?
Yeah, and that's it, Imti. Isn't he like a massive WWE mark and like he won't veer away from WWE?
I'll give you he is a massive WWE mark and certainly a huge Roman Reigns mark. It is hilarious when he has to play devil's advocate with himself to think whether he's going to lose or not. Like, that's always entertaining. But because AEW have signed people such as Ian Daniel Bryan's...
ECM Punk's.
Yeah. It does attract that sort of fan then to think, oh, I like the product when they were on it. I wonder what they're doing now, even though it's on a different show.
Yeah, you'd imagine that. That is how it works. And, so
it is working.
So yeah, it's one of those where I think there is going to be more crossover fans. And once again, we've veered off talking about Survivor Series.
I've got a feeling this is how it's gonna go.
I don't really want to talk about Survivor Series.
Well, essentially, we are doing Survivor Series in the way that Survivor Series was presented, in the fact it had 79 minutes worth of promos and entrances.
Are you gonna wank The Rock off for 4 hours and The Rock doesn't turn up?
In fairness, I know you're making a joke, but if I was to sit here now and audibly praise The Rock via social media and everything, I'm fairly certain I could do that for a very long time and he still wouldn't appear at my house. So, yeah, probably, yeah. I'd probably do it.
Yeah, but you're also not The Rock's old boss, are you?
No, I never employed The Rock. I'm very glad that I did happen to watch Red Notice on Sunday afternoon. If I hadn't have watched Red Notice on that Sunday afternoon, I would have been confused as fuck.
You'd have been in the same boat as me.
It was pretty funny, you guys like texting going, what is this egg? And I know what the egg means.
It was my one and only tweet in the night because I passed out going, is this an egg storyline on Raw or SmackDown?
I was honestly going to reply to you, but I was going, no, it's not a storyline. That's a movie. yeah, that fucking egg. Jesus Christ. I didn't understand anything. It was just so weird. Just why was Vince even on the show?
Because The Rock gave him a present, which was worth $100 million. Because, you know, The Rock's rich, but I doubt he's giving away $100 million gifts to Vince McMahon.
No.
And, you know, he wanted it to show it off to his roster, which all happened to be assembled for Survivor Series. Which may or may not have been sponsored by Pizza Hut.
It was definitely sponsored by Pizza Hut. And probably the only reason why the 25-man Battle Royal
was
on the main show.
Yeah. Because it was the Pizza Hut 25-man.
Yep.
The Rock Memorial Battle Royal or whatever the fuck it was.
Yep. 25 men that doesn't split evenly into two. And I believe on our official adjudicators count, it was 13. No, it was 14 to Raw, 11 to SmackDown.
It was, yeah.
So, superb booking that. And that goes towards the brand supremacy. His 14 against 11.
In fairness,
we're going to throw pizza into the crowd.
Yeah, and the 11 that lost, probably up for the chop next, I assume. Every like, oh, you lost this kayfabe match. Your contract is now up for renegotiation or termination.
Absolute bollocks.
I can't help but feeling I did SmackDown a bit dirty throughout the show, to be fair.
Well, yeah, like I said, their only real win was in the main event when it didn't matter because they were already an insurmountable lead. Roman looked really strong. You've ruined the rest of your roster. The only other win they got was by a DQ on the pre-show. Yeah.
And in the men's match, it was essentially 5 versus 4.
Oh, my God.
Because Owens just went, nah, fuck this, I'm done. And in fairness, when I watched it, I thought exactly the same. I was like, you know what, I'm pretty much done with this too. Unfortunately, I've got a podcast. I need to watch this to understand what the fuck is going on. So sadly, Kevin, I've got to carry on watching. But my spirit animal is with you at this time.
It was all very strange. I don't even remember what happened in the women's one. I do. That wasn't terrible booking. I didn't think that was terrible.
Tony Storm eliminated Carmella. That's all I remembered.
Yes.
Because she was trying to put a mask on. And then she got rolled up.
Fair enough. That sounds all right.
And yeah. The only highlight in the show was Pat McAfee throughout it. Because he's fucking hilarious. As soon as WWE tries to figure out how to sedate him, that's when I start watching altogether.
What do you think it would take for Pat to replace, like, Jericho?
What? On AEW?
Yeah.
Not much, I assume. Not much.
Because I feel that would be delightful.
This is mainly stemming from you wanting Adam Cole and Pat McAfee to renew their rivalry as such.
Oh, shit. To be honest, yeah, game on.
I would actually enjoy it if Tony Schiavone just went, I've got a new guest commentator, brings out Pat McAfee.
Sadly,
Adam
already hates Tony.
Yeah, and then Adam Cole goes, you're both massive pricks. I see why you like each other. And then super kicks Tony in the face. It's not going to work if it's Pat. To get the proper heel heat, you need to super kick Tony.
Jesus Christ. Most
of my heel booking in AEW is attacking Tony. Because I don't like QT Marshall, and guess what? He attacked Tony.
He's a wanker, he is.
Exactly. Cena at visceral height.
Who's he going up against now? He's going up
to
some kid,
isn't
it? I'm like,
isn't he up against CM Punk?
No.
Is that on?
Oh shit!
Is that on this week's Dynamite?
It's Brian that's going through
the Dark Order.
In essentially, hometowns,
which is phenomenal booking.
Absolutely incredible booking.
Tony Khan is actually a genius.
It is QT Marshall, a man who now thinks he can beat CM Punk,
Chicago.
Who is undefeated, and beaten a bunch of other, you know, much higher ranked people in the company. But I'll believe this one. It's
wacky. Yeah, the only way QT gets a win is if MJF makes an appearance.
Sure.
And then he gets a cheeky roll up. But even that will still piss me off, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't want QT Marshall holding a win over Punk at all.
And then, you've obviously got Colt Cabana versus Daniel Bryan.
Only because they couldn't book Punk versus Colt.
I mean, they probably could have done. It would have been interesting.
Moving swiftly on.
Back to Survivor Series.
Oh, Christ.
Or Fallout from Survivor Series.
Becky Lynch had her ass out for about 20 minutes in Charlotte Flair in some ring gear that...
Is that the bright red?
It was a bold choice.
To be honest, that was the one match I was actually looking forward to seeing. They put it on first, and because I missed it.
I loved that they put it on first. I commented to somebody else who was talking about it with me.
I thought you were going to say who will remain nameless. I'm like, it's fine.
In fairness, it was Emily who went to go to WWE Live the other week. Remember the picture I showed from the seats?
Oh, yeah.
That's who I was talking to. I was saying it's actually quite an AEW thing to do, to put a kind of main event on first.
Yeah.
It's something that they seem to be doing right now. So I'm like, okay, all right, I don't mind the following this. It keeps, while the crowd is still hot, you know, they're excited because the show's about to start. So before they start lagging, let's give them Becky versus Charlotte. It doesn't help that the whole crowd fucking hate Charlotte. It's supposed to be heel versus heel, but nah, we'll cheer for Becky.
Yeah, standard.
So, yeah.
But yeah, that's the main difference between AEW and WWE. If AEW book a heel and the crowd turns them face, guess what? They pivot the story, so the other person's a heel. WWE tend to just go, no, we're going to force this down your throat.
Or just turn somebody without us even knowing. Shotzi Blackheart's heel now.
She re-debuted as a heel. Yeah. I believe Toni Storm is currently a face on SmackDown.
And I think Tamina is heel again now.
Well, yeah, she's wondering where her tag partners have gone, I presume.
Yeah.
That should be in these people's gimmicks, trying to find out where their old tag partners went.
I mean, work for our truth. That shit could happen. Oh, so we have a new champ.
We have two new champs, to be fair.
Yeah, the only one I care about.
All right. Yeah, 24/7 title.
Damn right, son. Dana Brooke, champ. Amazing.
Yeah, apparently Cedric and Reggie had a very entertaining match.
Who cares? There's only one winner.
And then Dana Brooke rolls Cedric up after he wins the belt.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, on paper, Reginald versus Cedric Alexander. Yeah. Give me a cheeky 10, 12 minutes of that. Quite interesting.
Let's be honest, mate. They probably got four.
Obviously, but I'm just saying.
In a 3-hour show, they got 4 minutes. Because apparently, like 40 minutes of it was taken up with backstage segments of looking for his egg.
I'm not surprised.
Which, Austin Theory admitted he stole the egg.
Yeah. He only wanted to look at it, Lee. And then he was like, oh shit, I've had the egg for too long and they know it's missing. And then he got really nervous. He thought, well, what do they do? Can't now just like take it back. Thing I do, what are you doing with the egg? You're doing the egg. You're fired. Yeah. Could easily happen. So he thought, shit, I'll keep the egg for another 24 hours. I'll take it to the next city we're in. I'll take it in the rental car that I have to get by myself
I'll stick it in the booth.
Yeah. I won't tell any of the four people I'm carpooling with to try and cut down on costs. No. I won't tell any of them that I've got this egg. And then I'll show up on the show. This would work if I'd actually watched Raw. I want to say it was Kevin Owens that then is like, I'll find your egg for you.
No, it was Sami Zayn.
Oh, of course, sorry. Samuel Zayn, he doesn't find the egg. Then Austin Theory's like, I found the egg.
Yeah.
So Vince McMahon goes, you know what? Well done, young man, for returning the egg that you stole. Have a title match.
I know, yeah. So instead of, I believe Sami Zayn actually found out it was Austin Theory. But what actually happened was, is Austin Theory admitted what had happened. Vince McMahon appreciated his honesty. And then instead of giving Simon a match, which he said he would do, he basically called him a snitch and went, you ain't getting shit. And then give Austin Theory the title match.
Outstanding.
Honestly, it plays so well into Sammy's gimmick.
How is Sammy not face? I swear everything that's happened to him is fucking true. All this conspiracy bollocks, I swear to God, it is actually happening to him. And the crowd's like, look at this idiot. He thinks everything's against him. Boo, what a gimp. It's madness.
Did you read about the one segment which didn't happen, which sounds quite bizarre? Now we're going to have Kevin Owens do a lie detector test.
Fuck me. Wow.
Yeah. Well, no, strangely, that wasn't the most talked about moment on Raw. It was a fan running out and spearing the shit out of Seth Rollins.
He certainly came unaware.
I mean, what a cunt.
He had him in a lovely headlock afterwards, though, while he was kicking the shit out of him.
As soon as Seth realised what was going on, it was boom, headlock. He couldn't move. Security was kicking the living shit out of him.
Yep.
And rightly so.
Yep.
I don't know if Seth didn't get back up and literally curb stomp him.
He was very restrained. Did you see him afterwards when he came out?
For the
commentary bit. Give him a lovely touch at the crowd. It's like, nice.
But whenever a fan jumps around in the past 6 years in WWE, it always somehow involves Seth Rollins in some way, shape or form.
He just makes people's blood boil.
If you remember the classic one when he was tag team champs in the Shield, a guy jumped the rail and just stood next to them as if he was a member of the Shield, and Rollins is there looking, going like, is this dude going to try and stab me? Is security going to get him?
Am I allowed to just knock him out?
Yeah. Because surely, if you cross that barrier, wrestlers should be entitled to knocking the fuck out in terms of personal safety.
Sure, but they're also personal contractors, so they probably don't have the legal...
Independent contractors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. They probably don't have the legal clout to necessarily stand up to that, if I'm honest.
It's probably because, you know, they did it in the 80s. They did, literally knock the shit out of the fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, it even happened in, 2000. If you go online, there's a video of, Triple H kicking the living shit out of someone.
More than he probably did in his matches.
Yeah. Well, it's like they go to attack Austin. And, Triple H just goes, nah, fuck this, and literally just wails on the dude.
I do remember it.
Right, I'm fed up with talking about Survivor Series and WWE. Can we talk about something fun?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Cool. Let's do it.
we had a wonderful weekend. The triumphant return after 624 days.
Yeah.
Some say 625. It was officially counted 624 in the show before you start jumping down my throat, Lee. All right. Just going with facts that was given to me.
Look,
you were very pissy on the day going, oh, 625. That was you.
I wasn't that pissy, to be fair. You're just trying to create a bit of drama out of fuck all. Typical you, mate. Typical you. Storming a teacup.
How dare you? How very dare you? Yes, so sorry, after 624 days, we were delighted to return to Leicester, the Attenborough Arts Centre for Wrestling Resurgence. A lovely promotion that it is almost like a home away from home for us at times, which is great. It was nice having back.
It felt like they'd never been away. And I think that's probably the greatest compliment I can give them. Because when we were back to Kamikaze, for example, it did feel a bit jolted off. Here's a wrestling show. And then it's just bang. Whereas this one, it kind of eased you back in while creating story as well.
Yeah. They didn't forget what had already happened. Bear in mind, it was like 2 years ago. So they did pretty well to keep things in. It wasn't like you and I were turning to each other going, oh, what happened at that bit? We were already, oh yeah, these guys should be kind of feuding with each other for some reason or whatever. We knew stuff that was going to go on, which I thought was great.
I mean, it does help not being massive marks for the promotion, to be fair.
So we
pretty much remembered everything.
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly been probably playing fancy booking in the past 2 years of what we could do. It also probably helps that it's two very different venues. It's two very different setups, two very different lines of production.
I mean, yeah, I could actually see what was going on in the ring in Resurgence as well.
Yeah. In fairness, it was better at Kamikaze's second time. I did feel as though it wasn't quite as just pitch black.
But they could have put a big light on.
Yeah, they could have put a big light on. I think that is testament to the way they produce their shows. To be honest, it is different. It was nice to be back in Leicester and not having to just be there for 40 minutes at Burger King. Shout out to Boo Burger. The fastest service yet. Very good.
It was actually a very nice burger as well, considering it didn't take them what seemed like 2 hours to make it last time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We gave ourselves plenty of time. We had to spend more time at the pub because, you know, in and out of the restaurant.
Oh no, what a shame.
Oh no, bloody hell. More time with the pub for stuff, a couple of drinks. It's very rare that we drink before Resurgence shows as well, to be fair.
Yeah. In fairness, it's been 2 years. I can't remember.
Well, true. Yeah. So, well, certainly for me, I don't tend to normally turn up there with a bit of a buzz on.
Yeah. I encourage you in most shows.
Yeah. I even had one at the show.
Yeah, that was weird.
Unheard of.
You've never done that before, I know that much.
Definitely not. I can't believe you didn't have a Resurgence ale, to be honest.
Ugh. Learned my lesson the last time, thanks.
yes. It's alright, I'm checking my notes because I'm trying to remember the card and yeah, I got it. I've got to say, I was not expecting to be chanting BDSM whilst at a Resurgence show.
No. Can't say I was expecting that chant either.
No, that took me by surprise a little bit.
And so, what was the opening match? Just remind people, Andrew.
So opening match was Big Dangerous Scary Mammals.
Yeah.
Which is the tag team of Charles Crowley and Clementine, who are face in this production, I believe.
I mean, now they're over.
Versus Lycos Jim, which is Lycos OG and Lycos 2.
Yeah.
Seems weird that it's called Lycos 2 now, doesn't it? That Lycos 1 is sort of back. It's weird.
But might be played by Joe Nelson.
Well, yeah, no. Speculation goes.
According to internet rumours.
In a capture the flag tornado tag match, basically. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
Once off, we were going, Lee, what is this? Is this tornado tag? You went, well, yeah, if it's capture the flag, oh shit, yeah, of course it is. But,
yeah, not gonna lie, I thought it was gonna be over the top silly bollocks, and like my heart skipped a little beat. Where I was like, oh no, now Mike Kamikaze the fuck out of this. In reference to Nib.
Yes.
The main debut
gimmick
match or whatever the fuck
it was. Do that again.
But no, I actually really enjoyed it. BDSM have got some great fucking ring gear as well.
Beautiful ring gear as always. I think it helped that it was unlike the Kamikaze one, and Sam, I think most people would have struggled to make that work. It was four performers that are used to that sort of city bollocks. Charles Crowley is an extremely outlandish theatrical performer. So
I mean, he can go from silly bollocks to serious in the same fucking match, to be fair, and it works. He does it well.
Yeah, and then you've got Lycos, who we always know was the kind of idiot kid brother of Chris Brooks in CCK. Like he's always the one who's gonna do the stupid shit. He's still kissing people's feet, things like that. So it works in terms of he can do stupid shit. But then he's also a great heel.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they just basically had to make Crowley and Clementine face in the match. Some good little spots.
You popped hard for a baking tray during that match as well. These are things I remember. You were there making notes, so I just went, mental note, he's just popped for a baking tray.
It's been a while since I've seen someone get hit with the baking tray. He very rarely actually... How many times did we see him before the baking tray was even used? I questioned...
I'm pretty sure we went almost a full calendar year without it being used.
And I genuinely was thinking, well, what is the point of this baking tray? It's there. It doesn't do anything. Why do they have this baking tray?
Well, you got told it doesn't do anything. You've never actually put this in the theory.
Sure.
You've not been hit in the head with a baking tray yet.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, like, they don't do anything with it. Like, they never use it. And then finally, you know, they did actually utilize the baking tray. It. But yes, people have told me that apparently it doesn't hurt again in the baking tray. We could try it if you wish.
I mean, in this we tried at some point. We've established this.
It's always on the table.
As a man with your baking expertise, you must have a baking tray or two knocking around. That's all I'm saying.
I've got many baking trays.
I've got money to replace those baking trays.
You've got 79p to spend at Iceland.
Yeah.
I'm speculating the price. It wasn't that much. Like, it might be, I don't know, £1.60. Like, they were cheap.
I'll tell you what. I'll buy you another five.
Brilliant. Multi-pack. Black Friday sale.
£2
a pop. Around the head. Okay, lovely. Thanks for that.
I'll even do it in the shop as well if you want.
Yeah, we'll buy it immediately. Just smash it across the head. Okay. Come to Hell So in Iceland soon.
Be like, no, do you want a bag from outside? No, it's all right. Thwap.
Nah, I'll wear them out, son. Wear them out, little shoes. Bang. Oh, now I know what he means. Okay.
Christ. And I want you to be on the deck sounding like a motherfucker as well.
I think that could be obliged. Jesus. Right, we digress. Jesus. The things we talk about. Second. Oh, faces went over. As they should. In your opening contest, up back for like 2 years, you got the feel good shit. Faces win. Smash in. Move on. Cool.
Yeah.
Second match, Rhea O'Reilly versus Shikara. And unlike Kamikaze, Shikara is still face in Wrestle Resurgence. And this is something we have discussed in person. I think she's a wonderful heel.
Yeah.
And I think it would be great if Resurgence could. Oh my god, I've just remembered what happens later on.
No, personally, they can't at the moment.
Wow. No, they can't. But from what I've seen in Kamikaze, it is a more interesting character.
Agreed. From what I can remember, it was a very good match. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Solid match. O'Reilly played the good heel to keep Shikara face. Like I wasn't moaning about the match itself and how that played out. It's more longer term. I know that we would like to see Shikara maybe.
Yeah,
I think they could do some good things there.
But whether she could go full 15 rated Shikara like she's in Kamikaze in Resurgence.
Yeah,
you know, because you're catering very much to two different crowds, I think. So,
definitely, yes.
Yeah, it depends what level they're willing to dial it up to, but that's where you get your creativity, and you know, you can work around it and do different things.
I mean, considering what we're gonna discuss in a bit,
yeah, which you still need to break down for me, to be fair, because. Scenes, Andrew, scenes.
Interesting. Just the moment I realised what was happening.
Anyway,
next matchup was another delve into some silly bollocks as we joined the Moneyverse.
This was full on claptrap, silly bollocks. Yeah. As soon as they announced it, I was like, right, just throw all logic out the fucking window, sit back and enjoy the comedy, which is fine. It was treated as pure silly bollocks and it didn't disappoint. It was fucking hilarious.
So essentially, you had G-Money.
Yeah.
Playing G-Money. Yeah. That's fine. He does that role well. It's a role he knows. He's done that one before. He's well versed in it.
Yeah, he's well versed. Well done. There you go.
Versus Visage. Although Visage is also G Mudder.
Yeah.
In a fabulous little wig.
Yeah. Which made me laugh because he was sat on the announcer's table for the rest of the evening. And every time I turn around to talk to you, it would catch the corner of my eye and I'd be like, what's that bright orange thing there?
Yeah, so just for context. Yeah, context people know, it was just a wispy orange wig that was sat on the top of Visage's head. And Visage, who had appeared on some BBC, no, it was ITV show?
I'm not 100% sure.
Some spin the wheel show or whatever it is.
Yeah, spin the wheel, make the deal, that sort of thing.
There you go, yeah. It appeared on that week previous. Your dad had seen it.
Yeah, my dad had seen it. I've still not sent in the picture.
Bloody hell. And it was like, oh, there's that Joseph?
Joshua.
Do you know them? And he went, yes, actually I do.
I mean, not personally, but yes, I know of him and his work.
I I am aware of them.
And it blew his mind when I said I've seen him wrestle in places other than Nottingham too.
Yes. Yes, we have. Yeah, so I took a picture of said match for your father, and you've still not sent it to him, and I'm gutted now, to be honest. All my hard work for nothing. Then out comes Jørn Simmons, a man whose name I discovered about an hour ago.
Yeah.
Through the power of Google. He was the Dutch sexy version of Gina.
Yeah. Didn't have a clue who he was. Really enjoyed his work though.
Yeah, he felt familiar, didn't he?
Yeah. Because he kind of reminded me of that dude that we saw in Progress, who was also Dutch. But it wasn't him.
Yeah.
At least I don't think it was.
No, but yeah, I don't know.
He was funny.
Yeah, so that was some good shit. And then had a special guest referee, which is Man Like Therese.
Yeah. But
also addressed SG Money.
But his name is now Man Like Money, which
makes sense.
Popped me on so many levels, it was untrue.
If I'm honest, I do remember certain bits. I did enjoy the fact that they basically just do the exact same spot.
Yeah.
You would think that would get repetitive, but it genuinely didn't. Like, I knew it was coming, obviously. Once the first one does it again, you're like, oh shit, they're going to set them up and do it. So that was good. Everyone enjoys a slice of Ainsley Lariat. So.
This was full on classic indie wrestling, almost scramble match level bollocks.
Yeah.
Where, you
everybody's
know,
the same person.
It's a bit of a laugh. But there was also some good wrestling as well.
They
intertwine that nice. It wasn't so much where you're just like, oh, this is a bit overdone, because they're actually telling a story in between during a match. Yep. You know, it was good level silly bollocks.
Oh yeah, I was down for it. I think Gene won, but I don't remember.
Is it not in your notes? Because you were constantly making notes on the show. Like the consummate professional Andrew is. That's the only time I'm going to put him over.
Brilliant. My notes were literally just the card. It was just all had the running order. Didn't make any notes of the show itself.
Well, you could have bigged yourself up there.
I could have done, but instead I was watching the matches like... You'd have moaned at me being on my phone the entire show. To be honest, I would have done
because, you know, I like you to enjoy the moment instead of just being sat there on your phone.
Exactly. That brought us to a break and a raffle.
Do we ever go on a raffle?
We didn't. We took cash on purpose in case we were going to have a go on the raffle, but I don't believe we had a go on the raffle.
In fairness, I wanted that sweet Janet Jackson record, so...
If I'd have known that was the prize.
There was other records as well in the collection.
I'm aware, but the Janet Jackson one was at the front of the pile. And I said to you at the start of the show, going, there's a Janet Jackson record there. That's a bit odd. Little did I know it was a prize to be won.
And we would have to buy you a record player as well, so...
I'd have re-gifted it, sent it to a certain person on Christmas who has a record player.
To be honest, he should have been delighted, you know.
Exactly. From the break, we then had what I guess would be classed as a cinematic match that was a parody on Reservoir Dogs. Now, do you want me to try and explain it first, or do you want to give your... Because I'm interested what your take with this would be,
to be fair. Right, so I've never seen the film.
I know, because you did say it's Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I was trying to be nice to you at the show.
They come out roughly at the same time, I think. I ain't sure.
It don't matter. You can
carry on. Anyway... I knew enough about the pop culture references from the film to understand what was going on, so I could link it from A to B to I thought he was entertaining.
Okay.
Yeah, you can give it a proper rundown now, Andrew.
No, that's fine. I was just interested to see what your take on it would be, because I could see how that sort of thing would maybe cater towards me more so than you.
Oh, you definitely. But to be honest, I imagine I was the only person in the audience that hadn't watched that film because it was that sort of crowd.
No, I'm not saying that it was specifically that movie. It was just the way in which it was done and how it was. Because technically, it was a.
It'd be classed as a scramble.
Four, five. Yeah, technically, it was a five-person elimination match.
Yeah.
Basically. But. Yeah, it was set to the theme of Reservoir Dogs. And it's going to be difficult to explain that without actually watching the match, to be fair. We had Charles the Ref was... definitely get names wrong. He was playing Tim Roth's character anyway.
Right, okay.
Definitely going to forget which one he is.
Bearing in mind, I'm not going to be able to correct you, so...
No, but he's will. So, Saber. He was playing a ref, basically, otherwise known as an undercover cop. And obviously, refs are bad. Chieda comes out and says shit's all set up. Elias is like, nah, son. Nah, we're all good. I was like, okay, it's kind of cool. A little bit hammy, but, you know, the wrestler's not an actor, so it's fine. I'll allow it. Can't all be Charles Crowley, can you?
Jesus.
I loved the fact that Mad Kurt came out as another ref, which is obviously an actual cop, not an undercover one, like an actual real-life one, for then Debbie Keitel to come out and be Michael Madsen and do the whole stuck in the middle with you. Thought it was great. Mad Kurt, I thought, was brilliant in the match. The fact that his hands were bind.
Yeah. He did some nice spots, like, considering.
Fair play, mate. I wouldn't be doing this. No wonder they call you Mad. Big wavy. Old Roy Johnson comes in and just basically tries to shatter Gay Faye for it, which I enjoyed. I said it's really difficult to explain what it is. If it becomes available on VOD or they release it on YouTube, like they do sometimes afterwards, I feel that it's something we would probably share so you get other people to see it. But I did enjoy it because I like that they tried to do something different and there was still wrestling in there, but I could see why they did it. And that's why I wanted your opinion, because for me it felt more like an art thing than just wrestling.
It definitely was more of a. It was a bit of performance art with a side of wrestling.
Exactly, and considering what we talk about, that fine line of silly bollocks, and where we sometimes enjoy it and sometimes it goes beyond it. And I know it doesn't. This isn't always for you, so I just wanted to.
I enjoyed it, to be fair.
Cool. Be interesting to see if they do other things such as that, or whether it was just for this show, because that was kind of what they were going with it. The other promotion stuff and everything before it. So,
even though doing that for every show, I might have to start watching said film once you tell me the link. just like how you do with How Did This Get Made?
I might have
to do the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, Christ. Then we moved on to Harry Singh versus RJ Singh in what essentially turned out to be a pretty much passing of the torch match.
Yeah, it was a both these guys sort of thing, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
I mean, RJ Singh now seems to be without a tag partner for reasons outside of wrestling.
Yeah, so he's going it alone at the moment.
Yeah.
seems to be booked as kind of like the elder statesman.
Yes.
I didn't really realise he'd necessarily been around for that long to be in that bracket.
No, but maybe he's been around the East Midland scene quite a while.
Yeah, perhaps. Because
we're still relatively new to it, to be fair.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 4 years, apparently.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
Admittedly, we sat out for 2 years, but, you know.
Sure. And I guess it's also Harry Singh, he's still very much that kind of, well, I suppose he's a newbie still, but then he's not now because he's probably been around a good 3 years or so.
I mean, but if you remember, going back to the old Fight Club Pro shows we watched, mm-hmm. he was in the that breakout tournament that they did. And that was I'm going to say that was probably
8 years ago.
No, I think it was more than that, mate. I was going to say that was 5 or 6.
Either way, yeah. But they kind of booked it that way for things that then happened after it. I say it was probably one of Harry Singh's better matches.
I still think he would work better as a heel. I don't know why.
I don't know. I'm not sure I'd get that far.
He's definitely over in the crowd, but there's something about him to me that screams heel.
I
think he could do it well.
I think there's potential with him as a babyface. I think he could push that. No, I'd believe that as an underdog babyface. I could see it. Have him lose out in sort of nefarious ways against sort of big heels and then build in that way. I think that'd be fine. I was stuck in just more, and this is no real disservice to Harry Singh. I just think it's sometimes the way the booking goes. Had that sort of trilogy with Mamad Darice where I just felt there was just no chemistry between the two.
I'm really glad they didn't go back to that, to be fair.
Exactly, and this felt a little bit fresher. And then the fact they had it as that kind of pass of the torch.
Yeah.
So then henchman Jim to come out and just flatten RJ Singh.
Yeah.
Then cut that beautiful promo outside in his van. To kind of set that up as well. I think, that's cool. So it sort of kept that booking. So no,
I wasn't sure about whether it was the henchmen coming back as a tag team and being heels, which I swear they originally started off as heels and then quickly turned face.
Oh, yeah, they were heels because when they first booked, just because that's what it meant, but they were just so over it, just being hilarious.
Yeah, because in fairness, I think the crowd turned and face and they'd kind of roll with it.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether it was Jim making a singles push. Maybe.
Oh, I think he is.
Because he didn't seem to mention his tag partner.
Yeah, and there wasn't a lot of talk of tag teams on the show at all, really.
Yeah.
Outside the opening contest.
I don't know whether they're going to put RJ and Harry together to go up against the henchmen, or whether it's going to be Jim versus RJ, then against Harry Singh, guys, doing for one show.
I feel that the potential is there, and if I was on GM Mode Lee and I had two tag teams that were in a little bit of feud, we all know full well that you would go one tag team member with other tag team member's manager versus, other tag team member versus tag team member as manager. So, yeah, then you're flipping around to keep that rivalry going. So, I think it's all there for the short-term booking to see kind of where they go. Yeah, I think it'd be fine. Keep that on your show for next year. Sold. Easy. And then that brings us to the main event, which is Cara Noir versus Spike Trevé.
I'm just going to give you the mic and you can break it all down. And then you can describe to me exactly what happened. Because I will say before you go into any detail is... Andrew turned around to me and predicting this probably 5 minutes before it actually happened.
I honestly don't know how. I wish I hadn't made notes, to be honest.
And also, I don't know whether you were slightly taking the piss to begin with, and then you kind of went, no, no, shit, it's actually happening. But anyway, Andrew, the mic is yours, so please go ahead.
I feel like that's probably what it is. So, for context of people who might not know, but actually, no, you don't even need to know the Resurgence products. If you've watched Progress before, Spotrebe is heel. That man is heel, right? Wherever he goes.
Yeah.
We've seen this man paint a canvas with another person's blood, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. That's not a face move. He has been running his mouth throughout every single show the Resurgence have had, basically.
Yeah. And creating quite a lot of heat in front of 100 people. Like, he angries like 19 of those people.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's 10 of us going, boo, but yay.
And we're always 2 of those 10.
always. Without fail.
Yeah. We're always the guys like, oh, no, but would you actually like some cake? Here is the cake.
But, you know, he gets a very, very heel reaction, to be honest, wherever we've seen him perform.
Oh, yeah. And then Karen Noir, who I would say, certainly in Resurgence, has always been presented as face. Despite the fact he's... Did I describe him as like the indie Dexter Lumis as well?
Yes.
Like which, I did. In terms of because he doesn't really talk at all. He's sort of very stoic. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the only comparison there is. That's all I had.
He is Resurgence's version of a superhero as well, essentially.
Yeah, and he's sort of character that epitomises what I feel they're going for in that sense of being theatrical, but also being an athlete and having good ring skill. You know, it's all there. It's all that kind of package that I think they're after. And so you can kind of see why he would be positioned sort of at the top of the card sort of face. And so these pair have been going back and forth across multiple shows. Obviously, it feels like even longer because of the gap now. And I'm like, okay, we're actually going to get kind of another blow-off match, I guess. It sort of felt like. You could almost see this have been another Ironman match if they'd have wanted to. They probably could have done something like that. Although, like, did I suggest a steel cage?
Yes, you did.
Hilariously. Love to see him try and put steel cage in. And so, what was strange is Sprite just came to the ring.
Yeah.
There was no mic work.
We both picked up on this immediately.
Yeah. There was absolutely nothing. We just went straight in. He didn't really look at the crowd and sort of try and antagonize anybody.
He didn't acknowledge anything, didn't do anything.
No.
He had a go at the ring crew just to pick up his jacket, but that was generic heel shit, really.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think anything too underward or
cheap booze at the start. Yeah. Well, there was a bit with Karen Noir's child. It was a little standoff between Spike and his wife. It's weird because I can't really work out how they did it. But they managed to do a double turn. And it just both baffled and delighted me. Because I turned to you and went, I get some boozy. They're getting like a double turn back. Like they are cheering because Karen Wall was getting chairs out. He was sort of really laying into him. He was going right into the five counts and stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that Spike was doing, it was, you were like, oh, well, yeah, you would do that. Or, you know, you kind of felt on his side. And it was a really strange thing because of how it's always been presented. I'd love to think where they got this.
I would think that it's Carnival using the heel tactics first, because Spike didn't really change anything to begin with. It was a heel tactics, and people just kind of went, there's something. You could feel the atmosphere change in the art studio, essentially, which is a very weird thing, because double turns are rare in
wrestling. Yeah, possible.
And they're even rarer when they're pulled off correctly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, WWE only did it once. Yeah. Once.
Yep. Yeah, but they're ball runs.
True. And then this one, it took people aback. I mean, it freaked me out when people started openly cheering Spike Trevay, because I was just like, where the fuck did I go from this? This isn't the first time I've said this, and it won't be the last. He's a British version of MJF.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's
so baffling. He's kind of like.
However, though, unbelievable. You could say now that Karen Noir is the British version of Cody Rhodes, because Cody could do with going full Karen Noir.
You make a very good point.
You're thinking about it now, aren't you?
Yeah. I genuinely agree with that now that you've now that you brought it up.
Interesting, isn't it? It was mad. Like I said, I need to watch the match back again. I wish I had made notes, because it was just so strange watching it.
I really want to watch it back. I would love to get Sam and John on the podcast to have a chat about it all.
Would be Jason.
And then, you know, maybe get a bit of insight without giving anything away.
Well, not that we record anyway. They can tell us all the booking.
and it capped off a very good night, and it seemed to put the brand on the forward foot. Whereas I'm going to go back and compare it to Kamikaze, because they're very similar in how often you go and see them. Kamikaze still seems to be treading water, and I'm not really sure what they're doing. Whereas Resurgence, first show back, it was like, right, give the baby faces a nice little rub, make everyone have a good night. But at the end of the night, it was Henson, Jim turning heel.
Yeah.
And
you've got a storyline ready to go for next.
And it was creating show. That intrigue. And then the massive plot twist of Carnival turns heel, and then Spike Trevay is now in the babyface position. And the thing is, I can't book him being face. And you know me, I can book anything.
It's interesting, because it was a great match for there, but how do they make that not one off? You know, it's gonna be interesting.
So yeah. I'm really looking forward to the next show, which is January 15th at the Y Theatre. There you go. Nice plug for him there as well.
Indeed. I feel like you've got to open with Spike Trevay at that show now.
Something has to happen.
Okay,
I'm hoping for some kind of video package.
Yeah,
I
reckon.
Because I've been looking every day to see if there's been anything. And there's been nothing. It's really tickling my bollocks, this is, to be fair. But yeah, great show. Glad to be back. It was nice to feel that passion for wrestling again, to be fair.
Yep. Then now we've got to wait till the new year to go again.
Yeah.
So we've got nothing now.
But I'm sure we're going to have many, many conversations from now until the new year about how I could potentially book it. Because I can guarantee one of us will have a brainwave at some random point on a random day.
I'll see something and go, oh, this could happen. This? Yeah. Well, I've already put two and two together to get five, and thinking we're going to get Charlie Evans versus Karen Noir at the next show, but I don't know.
Yeah, to be honest, I still think it's going to be Shikara versus Charlie Evans.
Sure, yeah, it's all pure speculation at the moment. I'm just happy we might be getting Charlie Evans back. That'll do for me. It's worth the price of the admission. Right there.
I mean, we're not paying because it's on our season tickets, but you know,
it's worth the price of admission. This would be normally where we close the show. However, it's definitely not how our night ended. So, no, when we go to Leicester, we are fortunate enough to be able to get the last train home. We don't need to stay over. We can often get a nice little train around about 20 past 10. As much as John loves to try to screw with us, and have his, you know, his matches not start on time of his own admission.
I've got it in writing.
Exactly, yes. We've got a written apology from him. You know, we tend to be able to get out in time. And in fairness, the new venue is even closer to the station, so, you know, lovely.
They're really going to push it close to the bank.
They do it on purpose, just to fuck with us. So we're very fortunate we get the last train home. It's not always that fortunate, because obviously it's the last train home from Leicester on a Saturday night. There's a lot of people that have gone out, you know, maybe enjoyed a bit of revelry.
Yeah, had a few bevies.
Had a few beveraginos. I'm going to use that term, Lee, because TikTok was very much a thing on that train.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not sure if you've ever caught a vibe before, but you certainly caught one that day.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when I made friends with other people on the train just to create what they thought was an epic TikTok moment. But what we saw was 8 or 10 drunk people screaming at vibe.
Yep. I don't think anyone was recording.
No, well, to be honest, I've been on TikTok a lot in the past couple of days.
It's not appeared
on my feed, but in that one.
Yeah. Yeah, Christ. So much so that one lad missed his stop. He was supposed to get off at South Wigston. They missed that stop, so he had to get off at Narborough and then make his way back to Wigston. The woman he was with was like, ah, balls. He's like, that's all right, come to mine, go from there. So, yeah, of course, you cheeky boy, you know what you were doing. Yeah, accidentally missed me stop up here. Okay.
Anyway,
they all eventually leave at Nuneaton.
God bless Nuneaton. Praise the Lord for
Nuneaton. Once it quieted down a little bit, we've still got a little bit of where to go before we get back to Birmingham New Street. We've still got a little bit of time to kill. There's a lad that's been sat next to us for the past half an hour. He's already asked if I wanted to sit there. I was like, nah, it's cool. I'll stand. I'm not really asked. You know, you're already in the chair. I didn't want to sit that far away. And I knew you wouldn't necessarily be able to hear you. It should be awkward. It's like, nah, I'll just stand over in the loiter in the area. He then talks to us again afterwards. And wow, did that next 25 minutes fly by? He was an interesting character. Would you like to give him a name? Because we never actually got his name. What do you reckon?
Could have called him Jacob.
Jacob? I was going to go with a Darren. Okay. So Jacob has two phones. He has two phones. I thought, okay, that's weird, but sure, we can have two phones on the train, why not? It's cool. Check his messages and whatnot. He sees that I am wearing a Chicago Blackhawks hoodie. So his opening gambit is, ah, do you like US sports, do you? Yeah, sure. Bit of American football, ice hockey, yeah, bit of, you know, don't mind. I was like, oh, that's cool. Well, actually, that's kind of where I've just, you know, that's why I'm just on my way back now. I used to live and work in New York for the past 2 years. I went, oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah, but now I'm back. I just got sacked for gross misconduct. I go, okay. So, yeah.
Andrew being a gentleman, didn't want to ask. I went, so what did you do? You know, I had time to kill. I was on the train, mate. I had nowhere to go. He piqued my interest by saying gross misconduct in New York, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I went, so what did you do? Andrew, please carry on.
He works in recruitment in an office that is on Times Square. I'm going to give you these details just so people can just make their own mind up if they think any of this is true as we go. It was just during the working week. A normal day. I want to say there was maybe a meeting that had gone on. And a certain young lady who also works in the office. Sorry.
She was Puerto Rican.
Of course. Sorry. Yes. Yes. Yeah. A Puerto Rican co-worker of his.
And just to be clear, he made that abundantly clear to us that she was Puerto Rican.
Yep. Yep. He goes to the bathroom with her. Yeah. Okay. Apparently she's very loud.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily all that interested because I must also point out he does have a missus. Right? Is this correctly? At this part of the story, we know he has a missus as well.
Yes, but...
Yes, we do.
It's not the same people he was talking about later on. It was a different missus at the time.
Yes, but at this point in the story, yes, he has a missus, but then he goes into the bathroom with a Puerto Rican co-worker whilst he's in Times Square office.
Yeah, and there's also four other companies in this building, and they share the toilets.
Oh, I missed that, so thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
As soon as they were done...
And they were co-ed toilets as well. There you go.
Yeah. They walk out, immediately fired, basically. You go to the HR hearing, they're like, nah, groceries
toilets. No. There was no HR hearing.
Sure.
The HR director was stood outside the toilets.
Yeah.
Which was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Because surely he would have his own office far, far away from the toilets.
Uh-huh.
And then, boom, right there. Yeah. Oh, you're going to be Saxon. He went, why?
And well, he sure another... inside out.
He went, that's gross misconduct. Everyone heard everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
because she's not very quiet. Yeah. So now they're both sacked.
Both sacked. He had his visa voided. So he's got to leave the country. He's got to come back.
In my head, it was tore up immediately in front of him, and they give him 2 weeks to get out of the country. That's how it played out in my head.
But the thing is, though, you say 2 weeks. He told us, though, this happened 4 days ago, if that. Like he was coming home now. He had no luggage on that train. It was just him and two phones.
No.
Didn't even have a bag. I swear he didn't even have a bag.
He did have a bag. It was full of weed.
No, he was collecting that.
No.
Collecting that later.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was in a lot of pain. Christ. Medicinal.
Jesus Christ. Ugh. So, he was then back living with his dad. So he'd moved back in with his dad. He hadn't told his parents.
In Leicester.
Yeah. He hadn't told his parents why he'd come home, that he'd been sacked and everything. He's like, oh, God, how am I going to tell him?
Just for the record, I thought his sacking happened like a year ago or something. I didn't actually think it was recent.
No, that's fine. It was almost recent. And he goes, but to be fair, it probably wasn't a terrible time for him to be coming home. I think it's probably a good idea. You know, the time difference is all right, but it's not brilliant. Plus, I've got a little one now as well.
Yeah.
Like, he has a child with an... I don't know who is the mother of this child.
It could be anyone.
I'm fairly certain it wasn't the woman that he's technically cheated on with the Puerto Rican lady. I don't think it was her. I don't think it was her child.
Might have been. I think it was the original girlfriend's
child. Okay. All right. So, cool. I'm happy to put that in. That puts a few pieces together for us. So from moving on from there, he's moved in with his dad. His dad is 70. And he needed to sort out his passport, his COVID passport, his tickets, because his dad was off to Zimbabwe to give a talk on just some bits and pieces, you know. Just give it a talk to people out in Zimbabwe.
He didn't log out on that, and we didn't ask any further questions on that one.
I had questions, but I thought, nah.
Well, considering... a few moments earlier, literally a few moments earlier, he was saying how his dad was not in the best of health.
Yep. You know, he's getting older. He's 70. You know, it's nice to be back helping him out.
He's a bit frail. Struggles to put his eardrops in. Yeah. Which you know.
Struggles with his eardrops.
Then he's like, oh, but he's off to Zimbabwe tomorrow. Which is why he's in Leicester.
Yes, because his dad lives in Leicester.
Yeah.
But as does some woman that he knows. Yeah.
But he also lives in Leicester with his dad. If you remember this whole start of the story, he lives with his dad.
Yeah, yeah. But so, whilst he was out and about, there was also this woman that he'd met that happens to live in Leicester.
Yeah.
He went to see said lady on that day. Yeah. But he didn't feel as though he could perform to his best abilities, if you know what I mean, because of the cast he had on his hand. Because his hand was broken.
Right. This is the first sign of bullshit I'm going to call. There's no.
No, it was the office in Times Square. It did it for me. I honestly had to try really hard to not laugh out loud.
But anyway, there's still more to this because we've got to piece on this together.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There's even more to this. This is insane. This is going to be an episode on its own. He's 32 years of age.
That pissed me off. I'm not going to lie.
He's 32 years
like,
of age.
I was like, he's fucking young than us. He may or may not have lived in New York.
Yeah. I still feel that someone better person than him. So
we forgot one bit as well. He was seeing someone in Leicester, actually lived with them for a couple of months. She then left her boyfriend.
Oh my God. Yes. 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 He was casually seeing this girl. He was the side piece of this girl.
Yeah.
This fella then returned. They were only kind of separated. Yeah. They were on a break, as it were. But he sort of caught feelings.
Yeah.
Caught
feelings
for like this. It's rare.
Caught no feels. Probably caught a vibe as well, mate.
No.
There you go. A bit of a callback for you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. She certainly probably caught something from it.
I imagine so, yes.
But yes, then this other fella returns back to her life. She's like, oh, I don't know. You've got to choose. Oh, well, goodbye then. Oh, okay, I'll pack up my things so this other man doesn't find my underpants in your house. I think Sue, with.
She sacked off her original boyfriend for him.
Oh, Jesus, okay.
Then he decided he didn't want it.
Oh, sorry, yes, because he had his attention caught by a 23-year-old.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who can resist them?
He was smitten with anything 23 in this lad. If you look 23 in Latina.
Oh, forget about it.
Yep. He was going to be all over you.
Oh, he was going to trade in whatever he already had for you. Unless he already had a 23-year-old, then he'll just date both of you. Hence why he has two phones. So he now has two phones because he's dating two 23-year-olds. Yeah,
which he then pointed out, and I was like, so that's why you've got two phones then?
Yeah.
And he went, yep, I can see you've done this yourself. And I went, no, I haven't.
No. No, we haven't.
Look at us. No, we haven't.
Yeah. We are absolute goons. come on. There are two 23-year-olds. I think he's currently dating both of those 23-year-olds.
He is. He couldn't decide which one he wanted.
Ah, sure, yes. So he travels back and forth to each other's houses, has casual sex with either one of them whenever they need it. But then he was also returning to... Why was he coming back to Birmingham? Like, why the fuck is he coming here? I forget.
This is what I don't know. This is why it's all bullshit, because he never actually elaborated.
I don't remember why he was coming back. And then he gets a phone call as he's getting off the train. And he goes, I'll be there shortly.
We've cut a little bit of the story here.
This is his bud, man.
Because there's still one more elaborate bit as well, where obviously you've alluded to the fact that he broke his hand and he took the cast off to be able to perform.
Yeah.
He was actually meant to have surgery that day.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. In Leicester.
Yeah.
And then they decided with a more urgent injury.
Yeah, someone had been like shot or something. Yeah, someone's had a heart attack. So he's been sat in the waiting room for 4 hours. Doesn't get seen. So then pulls his own fucking cast off.
Doesn't get seen. He took his cast off previously. And then, for some reason, I'm still not sure why, his dad was flying to Zimbabwe on the Sunday.
How did he put it? He must put the eardrops in with his left hand.
he must have done.
Yeah.
And then he was coming back to Birmingham for, I believe, one of his side pieces was living in Birmingham.
I would have to assume so.
I think the one who left her current boyfriend.
Okay.
I believe it was that one. She lives in Birmingham, so he kind of just dosed his nair.
Right.
I presume.
Okay.
And yeah. Then as we got off the train, I asked for a hand down. Pretty sure he gave me the broken arm.
Give
me a hand off the train.
I went in for the fist bump because I was like, yeah, I'm going to see how your fucking story goes. If you give me that right hand, I'm going to bump the shit out of it. He didn't. He went left. Fair play to him. And then he returned to the drop-off place where my dad dropped you and I off previously in the morning so he can meet his weed guy.
Just to confirm, Andrew's dad probably isn't a weed guy.
Probably isn't, although he was offered £50 to drive some dudes to Solihull.
He was, yeah. Forgot about that.
And my dad went, no. And I loved it. Deadpans went, no, fuck off.
There's some poor lad in a Stone Island jumper.
Yeah, it just went, no. So yeah, interesting. It was some weird shit.
Honestly, there was so much bullshit flying around. But as I've been saying to people during the week, he was so engaging and quite friendly with it.
And just very quick.
Yeah.
Everything just rolled off the tongue for him. All this crap. And I went, mate, I'm in. I'm sold.
It's like, I knew it was bullshit. You knew it was bullshit. We didn't make any eye contact with each other during this conversation.
Oh, that would have ruined it.
Because I'm pretty sure one of us would have just burst out laughing.
Yeah.
This guy had all the attention he clearly fucking craved because he was trying to strike up a conversation earlier on in the journey, but them screaming children in the next bit in the carriage made it very difficult to engage in conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So that wraps up our weekend.
Yeah.
It was strange, but I fucking loved it. It was great to be back at Resurgence. Looking forward to the next show. We'll be back next week, possibly talking about War Games, I guess.
It'll be predictions.
I think that'll be about then, so that'll be fun. So we are Champs Out Last. You can check us out on all the major podcast networks. So wherever you find your podcast, we will be there. Go check us out on socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, @ChampsOutLast. Give us a like, follow, subscribe. We'll catch you next time.
Peace out.